turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 14 for our first reading. Romans 14. I hope and trust that these truths that our brothers can bring before us will bring a lot of comfort to God's people. And I do trust that the ministry that will follow our brother will bring a challenge to God's people. Romans chapter 14, reading verse 10. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Shall we turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you an occasion to glory on our behalf. Shall we go back now to 1 Corinthians? We'll look in there at chapter 4. First Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall each man, or every man, have praise of God. And the last reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, we have been running late, and some of the things that I'm going to leave, I hope, will be things that especially our young brethren and those who have a life before them will note them down and exhaustively study them, because they are most important. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every or each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day will declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. May God bless the reading of our precious Bible, the Word of God. The reason that the Lord brings before us what our brothers have been bringing before us in ministry about the future will be very, very little use to any of us if it doesn't make some impression on our present living. Prophecy itself is not for the head. Prophecy is for the heart. And I would ask you to challenge your own heart, as I do myself. Am I convinced that what our brother has read and the ministry that our brethren have given, am I convinced that that is God's precious word? Does God's word have authority in my life? Do I believe God's word, the promises and the prophecies that I have read or heard? If I'm convinced of this, I'm going to be committed to the Lord Jesus, irrespective of what the problems on the pathway may lead to. In Romans chapter 14, and I'm not going to spend time on it, but one of the things you'll find there, and I'm going to give it a small title, is our manners. You find that our manners are going to be looked at, how we treated one another, how we judged one another. Peter says that we should be courteous. And if I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus, what sort of an effect is that going to have on my life? Am I going to use my own liberty? Am I going to use my own will? Am I going to be the cause of stumbling someone by my manners, the way that I have treated my fellow saints? I don't think so. I wouldn't like to stand, and I hope I won't have to stand before the judgment seat and of Christ, and he has to look at the way that I live down here and the way that I treated my fellow believers. And therefore, if I honestly believe that, I'm going to seek to be courteous. Now, you have a lot of Ulster men up here, and you know they're a bad lot. I hope you know that. Because they all needed saved. But you know, God, if he can take these Ulster men, make gentlemen out of them, and make them courteous, and he has. That's the way you and I would live. Treat each other courteously and be gracious, because God has given us the ability. That's the way you and I would live. Treat each other courteously and be gracious, because God has given us the ability, as we have read in the scriptures, to be courteous one to the other, and not to use our liberty to abuse another. When we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you find there that Paul speaks about his life manifest before God, before the saints, and before men of the world. And he speaks there about the terror of the Lord, and I'm sure our brethren here could give us a good word on the terror of the Lord, but you know what I believe it is? That absolute fear of doing anything that would displease the Lord in my present life. How is my life manifest before God? Paul desired to have a conscience void of offense before God and before men. Brethren, if I believe these things, and I do, then I'm going to be careful of the way that I live. Whether it's good or bad, we read in that chapter, and you can wrestle with that all you want. And you know, you have Sunday school prize giving and they have consolation. It's not going to be a Sunday school prize giving. And then the Lord will give you something just as a compensation. He's going to look at the things that we have done in our bodies. How we have manifest our lives before people. How we have treated the saints. How we have treated others. How we have treated God. We were in the morning meeting this morning, and we broke bread. Whose presence were we in? We're in the presence of our blessed Savior. He said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Brethren, if I believe that, I'm going to be very earnest. How I live before God, before the saints, and before my fellow men, my life manifest before them at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 is going to be my motives. Motives, brother. Why I do things. Why did I, Tommy Thompson, come to this conference? And I'm speaking from my heart. I have problems, brethren, about conferences. I have a work to do in Alaska, maybe not a big work. But I asked myself the question, am I coming because the brethren asked me? Or have I come because the Lord sent me? What is my motive? What is your motive? You find the Apostle Paul, he wasn't so much concerned about the judgment of men. And that's man's day. That's the day in which we live and we judge. And that's what the Corinthians were doing. They were judging each other like men. He says, you know, though I know nothing against myself, I'm not thereby justified. Do you know your motives for everything that you do? When you're going to do something, what is the motive? Take a gospel meeting? What's the motive? Well, I'll tell you, I think it's nice to bear our hearts before each other. I said to the Lord, "Lord, if I go to this conference, all I want to do is be a help to God's people. I'm going to be a, do you ever hear anybody going in for the gift of help? Now ask me a question. Have you ever heard? Because that's one of the gifts, helps. Well, if that's all we do, Brian, when we come, help some saint who is going through trials, try to comfort them with a comfort that we have known in the past. To some young brother counsel, as they come and ask questions, give them a little help along the road. Then you find, as far as I'm concerned, you find I'm going to seek to be faithful. That's one of the saints, one of the traits of the stewardship. God requires faithfulness. Now these are not what I had on my heart, but time is going. And I want to dwell a little bit on chapter 3. Because here we find we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. See what it is. What is this? This is the assembly that I belong to. Some of you are young and you just got saved, but we would like to tell you some of the things that we have been taught. If you would take time to read Matthew chapter 16, you would find the Lord Jesus Christ says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He is the builder of his church. He is the one that adds to that church. And I honestly thank God for every gospel messenger going out and precious souls being saved. I pass a couple of little places and I see a little building with a name on it. And I know that there's at least some gospel message going forth. And I thank God for it. Because that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ is building his church. And the only one that can see that is God. For many of them are in the glory. And I think it won't be long before the last of us will be called home. And that glorious church shall be presented unto him without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That is what they call the heavenly church. Some call it the universal church. Some call it the mystical church. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the builder of that church. And thank God it's going to be victorious. And there are no divisions, there are no things that separate God's people, denominations or one thing and another. When the shout goes forth, they'll all arise. And we'll all be gathered around one shepherd, one flock. But if you notice in our reading today, it says that every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So when it comes to building, you get that in Matthew chapter 18, the local assembly. The Bible is clearly telling us that we are the builders. And I know some brethren think that the only builders are those who minister God's word, and that they have been, somebody gave them a letter of commendation and out they went, and they're going to, dear brethren and sisters, that's not it at all. There are men that minister, the Apostle Paul said, Barnabas and himself, he says they had one aim. What was that one aim? Different gifts with one aim. And that was for the assembly. God's tilled field. God's building. God's temple. We are the builders of that. Therefore, I'm going to ask you something. Do you realize that every assembly must be built upon a doctrinal foundation? Because that's what I believe this is. I, as a wise master builder, have laid the foundation. If you look in Ephesians 2:21, you find you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That's the doctrinal foundation. And you find here that he speaks of himself as a master builder. Brethren, all, and I say this kindly, all, because you get a cup and a piece of bread and you sit down with a few saints and you break bread, that doesn't constitute an assembly. An assembly is first built upon a doctrinal foundation. They that received his word were baptized, and they continued steadfastly in the foundational truths, the foundation, the doctrine, the apostles' doctrine. And what is the foundation? It's the proclamation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I said I was going to give you a few points, and I'll do that. Because if you look at this, you go get a concordance maybe and do it, and look at the things that the Apostle Paul preached. You find in chapter 1 of Corinthians, he preached Christ crucified. Our brother's been speaking on ably on 1 Corinthians 15, and there you find he preaches about Christ risen, the resurrection. We heard about that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, we preach the Son of God. In chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, he says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and we are servants for Christ's sake. Now, what is all that? That is what he preached. And here is the essentials to the foundation. 2 Corinthians 1, the Son of God. The deity of our Lord Jesus Christ is part of the foundation. Don't you think because you go and take a gospel meeting and you could take old Mother Hubbard, she went to the cupboard and got it, and when she got there, the cupboard was bare and so the poor doggy. That isn't the gospel, some story. The foundation, you'll find it was a master builder. God doesn't send people out because they have a niche to preach. My Bible says the Lord said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will thrust out laborers. And any laborer that God thrusts out, they'll feel their inadequacy. They'll feel their immaturity. They'll feel, oh Lord, I can't do it. They'll be wholly dependent. The Lord will have to, you know what a thrust is? It's a thrust. We get them on ships. We get them the thrust, and it's pushing it forward. It's not going out on their own. God forbid that anyone would go out on their own. And so you find as a wise master builder, and that's why take time to study your precious word. Take time, this ministry that you're getting, take it down in a notebook, add to it, and get it into your soul so that you'll know it. Because there'll be times you'll not have a notebook, and you'll need to be able to speak, and in areas where we trust God will send you, you'll need to be able to be wise in the things of God, intelligent in connection with the person of our Lord Jesus. Why is it so essential? I'll tell you why it's so essential. If he's not God, if he's not the Son of God, you have no Savior to preach. And then you find the Apostle Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. Give you a little bit, because we have received this. I thank God as a young man in Africa, I had a dear man called Hugh Vine, some were Brother Noel here. He used to meet me coming of the train at nights after I had gospel meetings. He'd walk me right up to Clavella. He says, "Have you any questions, Tommy?" And I tell you, I had a university education every night from that dear man. Take what you get. You don't know when you'll be able to use it. I had no idea. Our brother was sitting there. I had no idea. I was happy. I was happy in the Lord's work. I was working for the oil company, and I was busy at lunchtime in gospel meetings. You've never seen gospel activity like you until you go down to South Africa. And at night, you got went out in the gospel. I was busy, and I looked. But you know what happened? God was preparing me on knowing to myself for a field that I didn't know and for a work that I had no ambition about. So don't think, you know, because you get googly-eyed over missionary work, that that's where the Lord wants you. And our brother Noel here, I've been 45 years in Alaska, and you know where I am homesick for? Not just heaven, but I'm homesick for the work in the kill. I miss my brethren. But you see, those times God was preparing. And I remember when I left Africa, the first thing on board ship, we had Mormons. We had all sorts of people. And I started Bible reading, and I'll tell you, I was glad to look back. I lived on the loveliest beach in the Cape. But I was glad that I stayed in that little room in the heat and studied God's precious word and sought to absorb all that I could from God's word. Because you see, it's a master builder. He's not just a builder, but he knows how to lay down the foundation. So you have the master builder, and he selects his materials. What does he select? He likens it onto gold, silver, and precious stone. During the war, they built air raid shelters in the city of Belfast. And some of those builders that put them up, they put a lot of old hay, different things on them, and then when the bombs hit them, it was exposed. The materials must be right. Don't be rushing things. I would like you to pray on Wednesday night. I've had a deep exercise at a little place called Talkeetna, halfway between Anchorage and Fairbanks, just near Mount McKinley. All that beautiful place. We've been working there. The young couple there who come into Anchorage and so forth, times going on. But on Wednesday night, he had put an extension onto his little cabin. Wednesday night, they had five in at a little Bible reading. And I was told this morning, they said, "Hurry home." Why? Wise master builder. Now, I know there's a lot of people more wise than I am in the scriptures, but you know what I mean. Somebody who knows how to lay the foundation. So he selects his materials. Gold. Now we know that gold speaks, there's other things that speak of, but it does speak about deity. It speaks about the things of God. And haven't you enjoyed these brethren who have studied and taken time? Our brethren, they're busy with other things. They're busy in medical things. But here you find they come and they give us gold. Things about God that you didn't know when you came, now you've got them. and silver. I'd like to point you to some just because it's passing, it just come to mind. Look at Romans chapter 16. See, I'm a funny fellow, you know, sometimes, because they've left me up there until I'm isolated, and all I have is a couple of books to... But look at chapter 16 and verse 25. Now, to him that is of power to establish, and notice this, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which is kept secret since the world began. Now, did you notice there in verse 25? Establish you. Establish you. In chapter 1, verse 16, it saves you. But you see, the same gospel stabilizes you. It establishes you. So you get saturated with the gospel. For isn't that what redemption glories is? It's the redemption money and so forth in the Old Testament. You haven't time to go into that. But to be able, and not just to preach to the saints or to the sinners to get saved, but to expound, like our brethren have been doing, the gospel. That's what Romans is about. It's explaining what salvation is. It's a lot more than your sins forgiven. Includes all those things that our brethren went over. I'm not going to go for them now. But the gospel can also be taught. That's what our brethren do. That's what you're going to get next week. It's going to teach you the things about salvation. God's great redemption, his righteousness. And I hope you'll go and take account of it. Well, just shortly after I was saved, I heard Mr. A. Archie Naismith, and I could take you and show you the notes yet, and I didn't know what the man was talking about. But I was saved and just baptized and in the assembly, and he spoke about the four square gospel, and he said, here it is in Romans. Haven't got time to give you it, but I got it in here now, and I enjoy it. So you see, there you have the redemption, isn't it? Not only preaching the sinners to get them saved, but explaining to the saints what they have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Then there is the methods that are used in the gospel. Let me tell you this. What you catch them with. Now get this. What you catch them with, you have to keep them with. If you have a tin horn and a band and all, that's what the only way you're going to keep them. And our brother was telling us, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And brethren, I say amen to what he said. It works. Just the preaching of the gospel. Nothing frills. Preaching the gospel and seeing the devil's hold on people broken. Oh, I could tell you some things that would thrill your heart. What is it? The gospel preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. The gospel preached in your Sunday school. Don't be trying to tell them things about others. You only got them for a little while. Try and get the material in there. You find the preaching, so you find the material must be right, the goal, the foundation. And the motives must be right. That's what Paul speaks about in chapter 4. And is there not a greater motive than the love of Christ? And you go out into the field, and there's nobody there. There's nobody having a tea for you and saying goodbye and all the hoodlums. The elder that took me down to the boat, he says, "Well, Tommy, I hope you'll learn from your mistakes, but you'll be home again." I haven't got back for 45 years to live. No. Young brother and young sister, the hymn writer said, "I would not work my soul to save, but that my Lord has done. But I would work like any slave for love of God's dear Son." We're not just talking now out of something in our head. I remember when we first, the gospel hall we built on, well, it was an old barrack we moved and fixed it up, and I looked at it. And we have a saying in Ulster that looks very, we want it more Protestant looking. They'll tell you what that means. More Protestant looking. And here it was cool, and I got some paint, and I thought, well, I'll put this paint on anyway, and it'll look better so as the people that see it. Because it was a dirty old color. And I remember holding the brush up and said, "Lord, I would do this for you. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." And I tell you, it's wonderful to be able to have the right motive and preach the right message, and also surely that the materials are right, and then you find also to not deal with the other three, to maintain an assembly. Young men and women, I want to tell you something. God has got a purpose for you, but you're sometimes wasting away your life with frivolous pursuits. We have a little girl, she wrote today, she used to be in our Sunday school class. You could go, yeah, we could sit down and criticize her. She came up last year, and she came up with a group of kids, I don't know what they were, but they went through the villages giving out tracts and speaking to the people. Now, oh, she's a woman preacher. Well, I'll tell you, there was a woman preacher, preached the whole year. I heard this from a preacher. She preached the whole year in a fur coat. And that was Balaam's ass. Now listen, this little girl, she wrote to me the other week, she wants to come back. She's got a zeal for God. Oh, that we could take that zeal and put our hands upon them and guide them into the things that will be for the eternal good. There is the maintenance of an assembly. Are you convinced that what the Bible teaches, that you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus and give an account of the things that you have built into the local assembly? When the prayer meeting comes, where are you? When the breaking of bread, oh well, I'll go somewhere else. Can you be depended upon in the assembly? Or do the Browns think, well, I don't know whether he'll be here tonight or not? It says in God's precious word, "And they that received his word were baptized, and they continued steadfastly." That's how an assembly is maintained. And I thank God we have a small assembly. But you know, on a Sunday night before the gospel meeting, I usually count their feet because I don't look up. But we have about 10 brethren in there praying. And during the weeknight, all our brethren pray. What are you doing in the assembly? What are you doing? Say, we talk about the seat of, I don't believe in the goat seat. I believe in the seat of instruction. where people can observe the assembly. And so just think, when you're breaking bread and some stranger comes in and they observe, what do they observe? 1 Corinthians 14 says the man's looking for God. Have you no exercise? Where do you spend Saturday night? You're not getting ready for to bring the Lord the first fruits. You say, well, you know, so and so, he can pray so long ago. Sometimes these long prayers, you know, you could go by your memory. But how wonderful it would be if you just get a young brother up and just a few words of thanks. Just your heart so full, overflow. So please remember, the local assembly needs to be maintained. And it can only be maintained if you're committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. For that local testimony, and brethren, that's what's lacking today. You may be converted, but I want to ask you, do you believe what we have been reading in God's Word? Do you believe that you'll stand before the Lord Jesus, each man, give an account? I tell you, that would make you, like the Apostle Paul, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. May God help you then to realize that being in the assembly, you can be a builder of gold, silver, precious stone, and I hope it's not wood, hay.